I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tony, good day, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. Okay, I'm a huge quarterback play guy, and my beloved New York football Giants, yet again, last year they had an opportunity to take a quarterback. Instead, they take Saquon. Saquon's great and all, but they still had a losing effort. Who are some guys, in your opinion, that I need to be paying the most attention to?
Well, if they take one at the top of the draft with their first-round pick, you know, I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins over Kyler Murray if Murray's available. I think Haskins fits more the Shermer-Gettleman type of passer that they want, and I like Haskins. I think he's got terrific upside. I think it would be a win-win for the Giants. You take Haskins in the first round with that sixth pick, and you let Eli Manning finish out his career as a Giants while Haskins is sitting on the bench learning. I think it would be a terrific situation. If you're looking in the later rounds, you know, third round area, Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn, a guy who I like a lot, did not have the campaign in 2018 as was expected, kind of played worse in 2018 than he did in 2017, but he's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he's got the arm strength to play at the next level. I think the Giants actually pro system would fit him better than the system he played in at Auburn. And then there's Will Greer somewhere in that third round area. A guy who needs to just improve his consistency and play at a high level and basically play every snap at his best, which he doesn't do.
Okay, tell me if I'm off base on this. When I watched Dwayne Haskins play, I saw a guy that oftentimes was throwing to significantly open receivers. He oftentimes had a lot of time to throw in the pocket, and I'm not particularly in love with his feet. And then when you kind of dive deeper into the numbers, in terms of air yards per throw, he's kind of in the 70s, or was last year in the 70s, in terms of college passers, and he's completing, you know, the 70th ranked passer in terms of accuracy. So I don't see a guy that throws the ball particularly far down the field. I don't know, like I am so skeptical on him.
Well, if you feel that way about Dwayne Haskins, you got to double it if you're talking about Kyler Murray. But you know, the thing about Haskins is he plays within the system. You know,
yeah.
There's statistical accuracy, and then there's pass placement and throwing receivers free. And what do I mean? You know, Haskins doesn't make his receivers work too hard to catch the ball. He does need work on his downfield accuracy, absolutely. But the guys over the middle, the guys down the flank, the guys at the sidelines when he's throwing the outs. You know, they're not leaving their feet. They're not adjusting backwards to catch the ball. He plays within the system. He uses all of his targets, and he plays in an NFL type of system. You know, the footwork can be improved on. That's just repetition. I think poor footwork is not as bad as, say, a funky release where the balls come out at different angles, although Haskins does sometimes release with a sidearm motion to get the ball to his targets. He was a starter for 1 year. I thought he improved consistently last year. Didn't have too many bumps in the road. Came up big in the big spot. You know, Ohio State always has good offensive linemen. They always have good receivers, but I thought he made the most of it.
Talking with Tony Pauline of Draft Analyst. Go to draftanalyst.com. Also check out his podcast, the Draft Analyst Podcast. What do you make of Drew Lock?
He's a guy who, when he's at the top of his game, is probably the best quarterback in this draft. But there's too much inconsistency and there's too much head scratching going on. He never really improved from between 2017 and 2018. Had he entered last year's draft, he's a top 15 pick. He's probably wearing the Miami Dolphins uniform today. But the fact is this: is you know, if there's one game you got to watch, it's the Alabama game, and I think it's indicative of Drew Lock over the past 2 years, where on one series he makes an incredible throw in the end zone where he. The ball travels in the air 40 to 45 yards with speed, and he throws his receivers free, and it's a pass that only a few quarterbacks in the NFL can make. And then in the next series when Missouri has the ball, Alabama blitzes him. He looks like a deer in headlights, and he basically just drops the ball. I mean, the passes can be all over the place. He throws the ball into the ground. And really, for every one magnificent pass that he makes, there's like three or four passes that are just like head-scratching. As far as I'm concerned, he has great upside, but he's got a big bust factor to him.
Talking with Tony Paulina of Draft Analyst. And then, of course, the obvious comparisons. You mentioned Kyler Murray. In terms of a NFL quarterback, how does Kyler Murray, how does he compare to Baker Mayfield? I understand it's not always fair just to say, well, he played for the same team, the same guy, but it is the same offense at least. How do they compare in terms of when you're evaluating them as prospects entering the draft?
I think Mayfield was a better pocket passer, although Kyler Murray, you know, does play from the pocket and he shows good discipline. I think Baker Mayfield had more moxie to him where he's making plays with his head and basically getting in the head of opponents, where Kyler Murray just makes plays on sheer athleticism. I think Mayfield sees the field better, although Murray's not too bad at that. I think Murray was able to make so many plays based on his elusiveness, his escapability, his ability just to stay behind the stay in the pocket or stay behind the line of scrimmage and scramble around and buy time for receivers and finally find the open guy and deliver the ball. I also think Mayfield was probably a little bit of a better downfield passer than Kyler Murray as far as accuracy and not having receivers wait on the ball.
Talking, of course, with Tony Paulin of DraftAnalyst.com. Also, go follow him on Twitter, at Tony Paulin. And then, of course, everyone would like to have a dominant left tackle in the league. How does this offensive line draft shape out for you?
Awful, as far as the left tackle position is concerned. I mean, really, your top offensive tackle is Juwan Taylor of Florida, and I think he's solely a right tackle prospect. Greg Little of Mississippi, if Greg Little of Mississippi was able to enter the draft after the 2018 season, he's probably one of the top tackles taken, and he's a terrific left tackle. Did not meet expectations this year. There are some people who feel he can't be a left tackle at the next level. Really, when you boil it down, the top pure left tackle is very likely to be Andre Dillard of Washington State, who did a great job in that wide-open Washington State system where he never had a tight end line up next to him. Terrific pass blocker. Showed well as a senior. Showed well at the Senior Bowl. Could slide into the late part of round one.
How difficult is it for you as an analyst to evaluate offensive line play now where, like you mentioned, Greg Little, and I covered Ole Miss for a few years, and you look at their offensive system, and last year almost every single play was a run play that became a pass play. So he's not ever really lining up in a pass protection set. And how do you go about evaluating this when evaluating offensive line play when so many guys are now playing in these run pass option dominated offenses where that's just not really how it works in the NFL?
Well, really what you want to do is, number one, you want to look at the fundamentals. You know, does the guy bend his knees? Does he play with good pad level? Does he get leverage on opponents? Then you want to look at his mobility. I mean, is he a stiff guy who can only play in a very small area, or can he slide his feet and cover a good amount of area? Can he get out to the second level? And you know, the run-pass option, most of the time they don't have a tight end next to him helping him. So, you know, can he adjust his body? Can he pick up the blitz? Can he pass protect for speed rushers? You know, if he does that relatively well, you say, you know, this guy's got the opportunity to play left tackle, as opposed to, say, Andre Dillard, who did all of that well as far as sliding out off the edge, good lateral range, and really protected the backside of his quarterback.
Tony Paulin of Draft Analyst is joining us here on the program. And then I wanted to get some thoughts on some local guys. Jeffrey Simmons tears his ACL in draft prep. Where was he before the injury for you, and how much do you think this injury is going to affect him in the draft?
I mean, before the injury, I think he had the ability to maybe go in the middle of round one, whether it's to the Cleveland Browns at 17, who needed the big defensive tackle, and, you know, I was told that Dorsey liked him, and the Browns are willing to overlook off-the-field issues, and Simmons had some off-the-field issues that are going to be discussed both publicly and privately in the lead-up to the draft. I think after the knee issue, now, you know, I've heard it's an 8 to 10 month rehabilitation. That's still to be determined. I think he's fallen into the late part of round one, the early part of round two. I mean, maybe the Philadelphia Eagles snatch him up late in round one, or a team moves up into the top part of round two to grab him. So he's probably lost at least a half a round on his draft grade.
What about a guy like Montez Sweat, his former college teammate?
Terrific pass rusher who, you know, is going to struggle against the run at the next level until he fills out his frame and adds some bulk. Struggled against the run in college, although it was not due to lack of effort. But, you know, the way teams want passers, want quarterbacks, they also want pass rushers. And that's what Montez Sweat does well. You know, some people are talking about him being a top-10 pick. I think he's more mid to late round one.
Talking, of course, with Tony Pauline of Draft Analyst, draftanalyst.com. Also, go check out his podcast, the Draft Analyst Podcast. A guy that was not lacking bulk, or at least if you're to believe social media pictures. DK Metcalf is absolutely blown up in terms of size. Where is he as a prospect for you? Does it all depend on what he runs at the combine in the 40?
No, well, it depends on a lot of things. I mean, number one, you know, he's too big to be a receiver. Let's be honest about that. You're not going to be a receiver that size. You're too stiff. You're gonna. He wasn't a quick guy to begin with, and at that size, he's gonna be even. He's gonna even lose some quickness. Now, getting back to your question, you know, he's a good pass catcher, but he's not a good receiver. And what I mean by that is, he catches the ball well, but he doesn't show good route running skills. He doesn't show good awareness. He doesn't play with good balance. He has more built-up speed than he does a flat-out burst. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the NFL, you've got to get separation. You get separation by running good routes, which he doesn't do well, by quickly getting off the line of scrimmage, which he doesn't. People say he's going to, you know, he may run a 4.4 at the combine. Well, let's see what his 40 time is, because that tells you how quickly he's able to get off the line of scrimmage into the pass routes. You know, he has a great amount of upside. I think the problem with Metcalf is he's got to show that he's more, or somebody has to believe that he's more than a guy that's just going to beat down and physically defeat defensive backs to come away with the reception, to really believe that he's going to be a mid-first-round choice. And then on top of that, you got to see how that neck injury pans out, because combine medicals are very exhaustive. And even though people may be saying, well, everything looks good now, and that's what I'm hearing, you know, combine medical, where sometimes, you know, they will listen to a guy's heart on a stethoscope, they'll hear something, and then they'll do further steps, and they'll say, whoa, you can't play football. Those combine medicals are very, very detailed and very extensive. I want to see what the end result is on that neck injury. And the end result may be different from team to team. One team may red flag them and say, we're not taking them. One team may basically say, okay, we're going to flag them, we're just going to drop them down. And there may be other teams that say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with them, we're taking them early. Look at Leighton Vander Esch last year, the linebacker from Boise State, who was all over boards because of a stinger in his neck, ended up as a first-round pick, did a good job for the Dallas Cowboys.
Does the lack of success that Laquon Treadwell had in the NFL, is that going to hurt guys like A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf?
It could. You know, and you go back to the Florida Gator receivers of the Steve Spurrier era, where they were so productive on the college level, and they were early picks, but they never really lived up to expectations. And they were basically more categorized as system players, system receivers. Now, the thing about Metcalf is he's just so physically dominant and so physically impressive, and he has so much upside. You know, you're going to have to go into it knowing that, you know what, this is a guy that may take 2 or 3 years to develop his skills before he's really a top-flight NFL pass catcher.
Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com joining us here on the program. And then in terms of the strength of this draft, I'll ask it this two ways. One, how does this compare to last year's draft? And then two, where do you see the guys that are really going to be the difference makers? What positions do you like in this draft?
Well, you know, last year's draft was categorized by the quarterbacks, and everybody loves the quarterbacks because it's a sexy position. It's the position that everyone wants, and it's the position that everyone talks about, especially in the media. So everyone loved last year's draft. As a guy who watches tape and has analyzed drafts for 22 years, I love this draft because I think it could be a historic draft on the defensive line. And really, teams with dominant defensive lines, you know, win a lot in the NFL. So you've got guys at the top like Quinnen Williams of Alabama, you know, Bose of Ohio State. You got Cleveland Farrell of Clemson, Christian Wilkins of Clemson. You got Rashawn Gary of Michigan. You got Josh Allen, who is probably better off as a 3-4 outside linebacker, but he can rush the passer. You got quality and quantity on the defensive line. You could have upwards of 12 to 13 defensive linemen taken in the first round. That's almost half of the first round, and I think it's exciting in that aspect.
What do you expect the Cardinals to do at number one?
I think they're going to hold it till the very end. They will look into trade options. I mean, they need players on offense. They need a left tackle. They need receivers. They also need a pass rusher. I think what they'll do is they'll see if they can trade the pick for a boatload of selections. I don't think it's going to happen. And then I think what will happen is the choice will be either Bosa of Ohio State or Quinnen Williams of Alabama. As I reported on the Believe on our podcast 2 weeks ago, the word is that the Cardinals are likely to part ways with Robert Kimdichie, their former first-round pick, who was injured late last year. He's going to be on the sidelines this year. They may part ways with him via an injury settlement. Even Kimdichie's people tell me that this may happen. And if so, that's going to open up a hole in the middle of the defensive line. What better way to fill that hole with Quinnen Williams, who, you know, is kind of a forgotten man because he didn't have a great national championship game. But if you look at the 14 preceding weeks, this guy was dominant every week and got better and better every week. And he's a true three-down player who can stop the run, stuff the gaps, and rush the passer.
Do you think the Cardinals would be better off if they did gamble and then took Kyler Murray and then tried to get rid of Rosen?
I think that's an insane move. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a lot of media speculation, but who knows? I really didn't believe that Baker Mayfield was going to be the first pick of the draft a year ago. So, you know, I guess it could happen, but you don't want to give up on Josh Rosen after just 1 year. You can't do that. I don't know what the market would be for Josh Rosen. I mean, you know, before they make that move, let's see that Cliff. In my opinion, let's see that Cliff Kingsbury is worth being a coach in the NFL. And worth making that move for along those lines.
I'm wrapping up here with Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. And then I wanted to ask you this, because you mentioned Rosen's last year, and how difficult is it to evaluate what type of rookie year he had? Because when I watched the Cardinals play, I mean, that offensive line was just god-awful. I mean, and I just, you look at almost every single quarterback, it's very difficult to play the position when you're running for your life and whatnot. What did you make of his rookie year in terms of what you saw for his future?
I think you can't really just base it off 1 year. And listen, little history perspective here. You know, after Jameis Winston's first year, everyone thought he was going to be a star.
Yep.
After Jared Goff's first year, everyone thought he was going to be a huge bust. So you can't base it off of 1 year. The problem with the draft is, as far as I'm concerned, is people get all crazy about it on draft day, but all it comes down to is names on a piece of paper. You need coaching. You need somebody who can properly develop the players. You know, that is why a team like the New England Patriots have success with quarterbacks, not just Tom Brady, Matt Cassel, Jacoby Brissett, who they traded for, a guy who was a first-rounder, Jimmy Garoppolo. That's why a guy like Andy Reid consistently has success with quarterbacks, because they know how to coach them and harvest the talent from them. So we'll see if the new coaching in Arizona can pull the best out of Josh Rosen. It would be nice if they get some pieces in there in place to protect him as well.
Tony, you're great at what you do. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.